Today's word is going to be Acts chapter 28, verses 17 to 33. So, 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me, because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. How's everybody? So today I'm going to speak on the last two chapters of Acts. For the last few months, I've been preaching on the book of Acts. So this is the concluding chapters. Chapter 8 is the last chapter. And chapter 7 and chapter 8 is quite long. If you have read it before, they're quite long chapters. And 27 is about Paul's, I won't say it's a cruise trip, a boat trip from Caesarea to Rome. And during that trip, a lot of danger, storm, shipwreck, a lot of unfortunate things happened. And in the last 2 weeks, Cynthia and I went on a boat trip to the places very similar to Paul have visited. And some of the names are actually still, the name of the places are still the same today. So we spent a lot of time in Greece, and I said that now is the time for me to practice the 2 years of Greek I learned at Regent College. So as we enter into the city, I find that I know every alphabet. Just on the signs, on the wall, the streets. I remember all my Greek alphabet, but I don't have a clue what it means. it's kind of how we know everything about the Bible, but sometimes we don't really know what it means to us. We had a good time there. Of course, we in a cruise ship, not in a boat. And when we were in Ephesus, and then we are in a new place, I always think of the Apostle Paul. Of course, our trip is a vacation. It's really enjoyable. Unlimited food on the cruise ship. But I always think of Paul, the kind of suffering he has gone through, and the kind of danger. It was a long boat trip for Paul. We don't know exactly how long that trip was. From Caesarea to Rome, some estimated 6 to 9 months. That's a long cruise. I know that nowadays you can have a one-year cruise. You can buy a one-year cruise ticket. But it's a long boat trip. And if you have read the last two chapters of Acts, you will notice that it's very detailed and maybe kind of bit over-detailed. Why did Luke have to report all these little details? Does it really matter to us? It's almost like a journal. And I think there are at least three reasons for it. Just to show that Luke was there himself. from what he described, those details. He did not hear it from someone else. He recalled all the details. And also shows that God's sovereignty over the circumstances. In chapter 27, I encourage you to go home and read it. And Paul and the people, the over 20 people on the boat have gone through a lot of trauma, fear. They almost lost their life. But God is still in control. And the third thing I learned from this thorough detailing of the boat trip of Paul is that even though Paul is surrounded by the secular people, but he demonstrated his spiritual leadership even in challenging situations like that. And okay. So this is the places that Cindy and I went to. So I'm not going to spend the whole morning talking about our vacation. But if you, and this is what Paul's boat trip, it's very similar to our trip. There are a lot of places, the names are still the same. And Paul started from Sisera, on your right-hand side there. I counted at least seven stops. And then he went to Sidon in Acts, we call it in Acts 27:3, and a stop where Paul was allowed to visit his friends. So Paul was treated quite well, even though he's sort of kind of like a prisoner, but he was treated quite well. And then Acts 27:5, and then Paul's boat went to Myra, a port which they switched to another ship. And then Nidus, Acts 27:7, you can see it there. Yeah, yes, it's here. Nidus, and the ship sailed close to this region, but it could not make a port because of the wind. So it wasn't a very smooth sail. And then he went on to Fair Havens, Acts 27, verse 8 to 12, is over here. So actually, we were in that island there. It's a beautiful island. And then the ship stopped there. But then they decided to continue, despite Paul warned them about the coming storm. And then the ship sunk at this near this island Malta, which I think most of you have probably studied in your Sunday school when you were in children's Sunday school. So Paul and the people on the boat end up in that little island there for 3 months until they were being rescued and move on to their journey to Rome. Up here. So no one know exactly how long it took Paul to get there, but some estimated, including the 3 months in Malta, is about 6 to 9 months. Wow, it's a long, long trip, long time. And during this boat trip is nothing but danger, storms. They were scared of their life. I'm not going to go through all the details. But they started off in a very smooth sail, verse 13, chapters 27, when a moderate south wind came up. So when they start off with great confidence, they will get there in one piece, very safely. But not soon after that, in verse 14, chapter 27, but before very long, they rushed down from the land, a violent wind, hurricane came, and then now they are in trouble, and they were scared. And then they've gone through many storms, verse 18. Okay, verse 18. The next day, as we were being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo. They start throwing cargoes over the ship. Can you imagine if you're in a cruise ship, and suddenly the captain tell you to throw all your luggage overboard? I mean, you will be scared to death. And then, okay, now throw your iPhones overboard. I think you'll be scared to death, right? And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard, and now all the kitchenware, everything, they get rid of everything. Now they were scared of their life. So this is the situation that Paul and the people on the ship were going through. Since neither sun nor stars appears for many days, storm must be heavy day and night, and it cannot, there's no clear sky, and no small storm was assailing us. From then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. So they are coming to the end of the hope. They're probably hoping that the weather will change, will be better. You know, tomorrow will be a sunny day. We can get on shore to do some excursion, shopping. No, they may die. They've given up all their hope. So chapter 27, the end of Acts, is recording this terrible trip, scary boat trip that Paul is going through. And everybody's fear of their life. It's like the end of the world. They gradually, the hope, any hope of being saved, gradually abandoned. So this most of chapter 27 is about this terrible storm. When I write this, and then I think of, you know, Paul is going to serve God. He's going to Rome to bring the gospel to Gentiles. That's what God's calling for Paul is. It's very clear from day one. God called him, the Spirit called him, so that he can be a missionary, bring the gospel, to go beyond, outside Jerusalem, to Rome, to the people in the world. But yet, he faced this life-threatening boat trip. Why? Why did God make him go there faster? Give him a speedboat so he can start preaching the gospel faster, rather than waste 9 months in some no man land. No one knows where he was except the 3 months on Malta. Sometimes our life is like that, isn't it? Even though we serve hard at church, we serve him wholeheartedly, but sometimes we face troubles, challenges, doom situations. Why? Why is it that Paul is, I'm sure Paul will ask the same thing. I want to serve you. Why I'm in prison, and now I'm sailing to Rome, and I may even lose my life. But very often, our situation is like that. Even though we want to serve God, but there are still challenge. So we have to learn that storms sometimes could came unexpectedly. Initially, when they start off, their trip is smooth, isn't it? The wind is just really smooth, but suddenly, just 2 verses later, the storm came, and then they never, and then they were always in this danger since then. Storm could come unexpectedly. So just because we are serving God, we cannot assume that our sail is always smooth. And sometimes the storm will take over, like what happened in chapter 27. Not only that they had to face the storm, but actually they were being controlled. The situation is being taken over by the storm. They start throwing things overboard. That is really bad. I'm sure you did not plan for that. When we plan for our trip, no, we plan that we'll carry one luggage. We carry one and a small one. Everything's all planned. Everything that goes into the luggage is precisely planned. You know, how many shirts, underwear we're going to bring. Everything's all planned, right? But now, nothing is being planned. They lost control of their situation. The storm took over. They start throwing things overboard. So even though the storm may die, but there's nothing to eat, right? So they may die of hunger. But our life sometimes seems to be like that. Storm came and took over our situation. We do not know why. And the storm sometimes leads us to desperation. Sometimes we feel hopeless, especially if our health it's going downhill, then we're really frustrated, isn't it? You can lose some money. Okay, I will make some money next time. Okay, I lose money in this business, in this investment, but I can make it back. I can invest better next time. But if you lose your health, you'll be despair. You may find homeless. So Paul and the people are in this situation. But just because we are serving God, we have to be prepared. Sometimes our sail is not always smooth. Sometimes we have to pay a price. Sometimes we have to suffer like Paul did. A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. And in fact, in this time, modern time, when we stand up for Christ, sometimes we suffer for his name. Just because we stand up for our belief, doesn't mean that everybody will clap hands, applaud. Instead, very often it's the opposite. We face oppositions, and sometimes even accusations, persecutions. And we have to be prepared for that. And Paul is prepared for that. When we were visiting the Colosseum, when we stand inside this huge Colosseum in Rome, I just think of all the Christians that they were being martyred at the center of the Colosseum. As the tour guide explained to us, notice how where the gladiators will stay in this quarter. That's how they keep the animals, the wild animals. That's where they would have them fight and kill each other. So I think of all the Christians that they suffer. So we have to be prepared for that. Prepare that we may see tribulations. Jesus never promised to us when we stand up for him, our sail will be smooth. Chapter 27, verse 22, 21 to 22. But after long abstinence from food, wow, they cannot eat. Must be really bad. If you cannot eat on a school ship, you're not very good, really. Then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me. I told you not to sail at that time, and not have sails from Crete. We still the island is still called Crete today." And incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life amongst you, but only of the ship, because God spoke to me. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, "Do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you." Even though they are great danger, they are facing life-threatening storms. But yet, Paul find peace in God. God guaranteed, gave him an unlimited warranty. It's you, all of you will be, your life will be saved. You may lose everything, lose your ship, lose everything that you have, all your belongings, but yet your life will be spared. You'll be saved. God used Paul in this situation. So even though the storm may be scary, we may be facing great storms in our life, we may be in desperation, despair, but yet we can find God in this storm, like Paul. I'm sure that everybody if you cannot eat on a ship, then you are in trouble, probably because of the storm, you're being thrown in a ship, or because you just don't feel like eating, whatever it is, no one is eating. But Paul calmed them down and asked them to stay calm. Having said that, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all. He just calmed everybody down and he broke it and began to eat. All of them were encouraged, and they themselves also took food. All of us in the ship were 276 persons. It's counted exactly that many, 276 and 76 people. Even though the situation is bad, people are worried because they don't have God in their life. So we should be like Paul. In situations like this, we can rely on God. We find peace in God. Not only that we find peace in God, we should share this peace with the people around us. Today in this world, I think we are all kind of a bit stressed out economically, inflation. We worry about the cost of grocery, all these taxes, new taxes, and everything is so expensive. We worry about our job, the economic situation. We worry about the war in Europe. Will it, now that more countries get involved, will it become another world war? We are stressed, all of us. But this is expected. The end times, there will be wars, countries fighting countries, people fighting people. We should not be surprised. We should, at this time, go back to God and find peace. Just like Paul, in the middle of this storm, he found peace. Not only that, he had this peace, he spread out this peace. He bring peace to other people. And other people, because of him, they start eating. So, even though the storm may be scary, but fear not, brothers and sisters, God look over us, look over our shoulder. So as we continue the journey, and the rest should follow, some on planks and others on various things from the ship. And so it happened that they all were brought safely to land, to this little island called Malta. I'm sure some of you have read this story that about Paul and the people and the people on the ship. The ship wreck, they abandoned the ship, and then they all swam or whatever way. They get to this island, and then they were there for 3 months. And when Paul was there, we sort of expect, oh, what kind of people would be the indigenous people? Would they kill them? Or eat them in those days, we don't know. But end up, these are very friendly people. They treated them well. In verse 45 on, it described that, they were really well treated there. So we don't have to worry. And David Livingstone said, "Send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever my tie, but the ties that bind me to your service and to your heart." When people throwing their belongings overboard, but Paul did that. When Paul aborted the ship on his way to Rome, he has already put everything that he had behind him, and he's going there just to serve Jesus. So we should always be serving Jesus. Despite they end up in this little island that probably people don't even know what it is in those days. But Paul continued to witness. So when they had been brought safely through, then we found out that the island was called Malta. Today it's still called Malta. The natives show us extraordinary kindness, for because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold, they kindle a fire and receive us all. I'm not going to go into all the details, but in the next few verses, talk about how Paul continued to witness God on that little island. He did miracle, divine healings. So they really impressed the leaders of the island. And even today, the island is still there, actually. It is a tourist area. And today they have Malta's over here. This little island there. I'm sure I'm not going to visit the island today. But the island is still there. And they have put up a statue to remember Paul. So even Paul wasn't there, he was there 3 months. But then the Bible did not talk about people on that little island, but it was the first colony of Rome to become a Christian country, colony, 2,000 years ago. And today is 80% people there are Christians, Catholics. And every year, February the 10th, they actually have a Feast of St. Paul's Shipyard National Day. They actually get a day off on February the 10th. So the whole, all the people on the island, they actually celebrate that day to remember Paul was there. Isn't this amazing? I'm sure Paul didn't expect this when he landed on that island. Even though Paul wasn't expected, it wasn't part of his ministry plan or mission plan to save the people on the island. He was just landed there, probably by God's grace, so that they won't be drowned. Right? And then he always did his things to share the gospel, to witness for him. And that little spark that he left behind became fire afterwards. I mean, the island has over 500,000 people. I was Googling it, I think, if I remember correctly. And it is a very Christian island. So even the little thing that Paul did, he probably didn't expect what will come after. But any seed that we sow, even though we maybe wasn't planted, wasn't in our itinerary, it's not in our 10-year mission plan, but God will use. We use the gospel seed that we planted. So no matter what situation, like in Paul, he was in a terrible, dangerous situation, but God still used him. As long as we are always prepared 24/7 to share the gospel. And they were all brought to safety. They stayed there for 3 months. So in a storm, in storms of our life, trials, tribulations, testings, we have to remember, trust God. Trust God's presence. He is always there. He is even is holding us even tighter when the storm is bigger. Do not lose hope. God's plan is bigger than us. All the people on the boat, on the ship, they lost hope. They were very prepared to die. But yet, God has his plan. So do not lose hope. God's plan is bigger than us. We have to always prepare, no matter what the situation, to witness for him so that God's mission can continue. So chapter 28, Paul arrived in Rome. And Paul started sharing the gospel, preaching again. When they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at the lodge in large numbers. But Paul wasn't free. He's a prisoner. But yet, the gospel cannot be bounded. The gospel is still free. They came. Even though Paul cannot go, they came at his lodge in large numbers. And he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God, and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning until evening, 24/7. So every day in the morning until night, until evening, was sharing the gospel. Paul was called to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Even though Paul's heart, he always wanted to go to his people first. That's why he wanted to go to Jerusalem, even though the Holy Spirit told him that, no, don't go to Jerusalem, go to Rome, because that's your mandate. But Paul loved his own people so much. So it was delayed a bit in Jerusalem, but now he is in Rome. That's Paul's plan for Paul, to bring the gospel. When people nailed Jesus on the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, and the division between man and God has been removed. The gospel is now for all people. Everybody who believes in Christ now become the people of God, not just the Jews or the Israelites. Some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. Some believe, some did not. Today when we share the gospel, It is like that, isn't it? Acts 28, 26. Go to the people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understand. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For the people's heart, now Paul is quoting Isaiah, I think this is chapter 6 or 9. Isaiah, for this people's heart has become closed. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they may see with their ears, eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Today is the same. We share the gospel. It's no different than the time when Paul was in Rome. We share the gospel. Some accept, some did not. And when we were in the Vatican Museum, we spent over half an hour there in this chapel there. Chapel just is the highlight of the whole museum. With the light up the gate in there, we sat there, we found a seat. Wow, goodness, not that many seats. Most people stand there. We found a seat. We sat down there, we stayed at the ceiling for about half an hour looking at this beautiful, beautiful painting by Michelangelo, Creation of Adam. On the right-hand side, you see God is so eager to reach out to his created people. But on the left, you see Adam, or a person, laying back there, very reluctant to be connected with God, careless, doesn't care. So I stared at this painting for 30 minutes before they said, hurry up, the next group will come in. And it's so beautiful, and then it's so portrayed the situation of people today, isn't it? God is so eager to save, to be connected with, to connect to all of us, but yet humans, people, slay back, careless about God. It's so sad, isn't it? So this is what Paul was saying, or Luke was writing in chapter 28. Some came, some believe, but not everyone. But Paul will just continue, whether you believe or not, I just continue. In Acts 27, verse 17 to 18, it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I fell into a trance, and I saw him saying to me, make haste, hurry up, and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And he said to me, go, Paul, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. To Rome, that's where the center of the world was at that time, that he can share the gospel to Gentiles, to all those people who are willing to listen. And Paul said, therefore, 2 years, therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, they will also listen. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters, and was welcoming all, even though he cannot go, but he welcomed all those who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. And then the chapter ended right there. So when I read this, I found it a bit strange. This is supposed to be the concluding chapter of the book of Acts. It's a very well-written history record, history book of how the Holy Spirit created the church, bring birth to the church, and then how God has chosen, the Spirit has chosen the Apostle Paul to be the missionary to the Gentiles. But the story is not finished. How can we just end it like that? Right. It doesn't sound like, doesn't seem like it's a closure there. Looks like the book is not finished, isn't it? When I read this, I keep flipping, then other chapter after that, no other chapter. Sometimes when we watch TV dramas, is it a good drama? I say, yeah, it's good, but it's a poor ending. I don't want it to end this way. It's not a good ending. The whole series was really good, right? Except the last episode number 16 is terrible. It's a poor ending. So this is not a good ending. It's not finished. So what happened to Paul? He was there for 2 years, and then what? What happened to him? We should have a better closing chapter, isn't it? So my topic this morning is the last chapter, the closing chapter. So where is the closing chapter? Where's the closing chapter, my friend? There's no closing chapter. So theologian Loy Auchinleff, who in his commentary on the book Acts, he wrote, the abrupt ending leaves us with the challenge and opportunity to allow the Spirit to write the next chapter in the book of Acts today, in and through us. There's no ending chapter. The book was not finished. There's a sequel, season 2, coming for the drama, or season 3, season 4, 5. The book has not ended. Chapter 28 was not the ending chapter of the work of the Holy Spirit, which is what the book of Acts is about. It is the beginning of a new era. Now the Holy Spirit is going to send not just Paul, the people of Christ, the church, all the believers to the ends of the world to bring the gospel to everybody who wants to hear. Some would not, do not, they listen, but they do not believe. That's fine. There's always people like that who are not willing to accept, but there are people who are willing, are waiting for us to share the gospel. And the ending of the book of Acts is not finished yet. Today we are writing a new chapter for the book of Acts. We'll continue to bring this gospel not only from Vancouver, from VCC, from this church, but to other communities, other cultural groups, to the ends of the world. Like Paul, we like to serve certain particular cultural groups, like Paul, but God won Paul to go to the Gentiles, people not of his group, his background, even though he was actually reluctant to go. The Spirit asked him in chapter 21, asked him to go 3 times, but he was a bit reluctant. He wanted to go to Jerusalem first, but then later on, he go to Rome to the other people. Today, we are writing that chapter. Not the last chapter of Acts. So God's mission is on us now, that we have to bring this gospel to others. The first work of the whole church is to give the whole gospel, not just part of the whole gospel to the whole world. Let's pray. Father God, help us to continue to learn from Paul, even though we are in storms, but yet you are in control. Today the world is in such a terrible shape. We are in a mess today. We're in great storms. Will there be a World War III coming soon? Lord, but we know that you are in control. We can trust in you. But help us in this in this world today, people are scared, they're suffering. Let us bring peace to them. It is our job, it is our mandate that we bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Give us the mandate, give us a vision, and give us a mission. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.